Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
I love the movie this was from.
Oh, yeah, Robert Redford.
Yeah, Electric Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack is amazing.
It is. It really is. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. And happy Saturday to all of you, of course. And, of course, I got my blue-eyed friend sitting across from me.
Hey there.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Sean.
You ready to do this show?
No.
Me either.
No.
But anyway, let's do it anyway,
because
this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
And we thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun and laughing.
That's right. Laughing is all the things that we experience in everyday life. You know, the embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, the fun things, even the naughty things.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you are a part of our show and love it when you join the conversation. You can do it in several ways. For example, you can comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. Well, today's show, we got a whole lot of fun for you guys. We'll be catching up with us. We're going to be doing some congratulations to some friends of ours. We'll be talking also about the top-selling tequilas in the U.S. for its National Tequila Day.
Ha-ha.
And then later on at 10:30, we have our dear friend Stacey Lane Wilson on the show with us, and she'll be bringing her friend Darren Gordon Smith.
Now, you can always download past shows for free from our website. Excuse me. Yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. Please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. Of course, today's theme song is Rhinestone Cowboy by the great
Rhinestone Cowboy
by the great Glenn Campbell. I still can't believe he's gone now.
Now, loved his voice. Yeah, we can still hear him. That's the cool thing about, you know, we lose a lot of people that are special to us, but musicians are kind of cool because they leave something we can always listen to.
Very true. Very true. And that's one thing that Glenn's got a great catalog of a number of songs, of course. And of course, his work also with the Wrecking Crew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and very few people know this, though, too, but he was actually a Beach Boy. He replaced Brian.
For a while.
Yeah, he replaced Brian Wilson when Brian said, I'm just going to write the songs. And
I think I'll lay in bed and write.
And produce the songs and everything. So, yeah. But anyway, but yeah, we miss him an awful lot. But and don't forget, of course, any of the music that we play here on our show, you can go straight to our sponsor, which is Amazon. And just jump to our website, click on the Amazon banner and shop to your heart's delight. That way, every time you shop, we get a little bit of something back.
A nickel here, a nickel there.
Yeah, exactly.
Little nickels everywhere.
Yeah, just, you know, make sure you click on it just like that and everything, you know, so we get a little bit of that. That's all we're talking about. Something simple, 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 simple. So, well, all right. Should we catch up?
Yeah, why not?
All righty. Always love that theme.
It's peppy.
It is. It really is.
Do, 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 do.
So how was your week, bud?
I had a lot of fun. I seem to remember doing a couple of things that were really cool. One was going to Long Beach and listening to you play at a restaurant.
Oh, that's right. You were there for that.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was fun.
The first show, I went out and a couple other friends came out. So I want to thank you guys for supporting me and being there and everything. And had an awful lot of fun. Doing that, really, because I love that one family that was just sitting right in front of me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the doctor.
Yeah, they got the blunt of everything. You know, the poor kid, Doug.
Hey, over there picking on some 14-year-old.
Well, you know, he's being, you know, a 14-year-old kid. What else am I going to do?
Yeah, he smiled occasionally.
Oh, no, he did. He was a great kid. The father... and the mom or whatever were just fabulous people.
They were. They were really,
you know,
cool.
They were really enjoying the whole conversation. They were enjoying the bantering, you know, and me picking on the kid and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fun overall. And they gave me a very nice tip, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
And I had a good night, you know, overall. The thing I was surprised, though, was my iPad drained very quickly.
You were talking about that it was like,
yeah, and I don't know exactly what happened or why it happened or whatever, I had charged it up and everything. I just bought a new iPad, basically. It's a bigger one. It's an older one, but it's a new one for me. It's an iPad Pro. And it's a 12.9 inches, so it's, you know, fairly sizable iPad because I'm getting older and I need to read
it.
The screen a little bit better on the charts and everything when I'm singing the songs. But it was at 95%, like, when we got at the venue, and I'm setting up and everything and plugging everything in and getting ready. And I think it was by the end of the second set, it went down to, like, 21%.
That's quick.
And I'm going, what the hell is, why is it draining so quickly, you know, overall? And I just couldn't figure it out. And so I said, well, my back started to tighten up a little bit too, and I don't know why. Mm. So I said, well, let me take a quick break. I'm going to do a shorter set. And normally on a set, on a show like that, I'll do like three sets.
Yeah.
Three 45s. I did four instead and did shorter sets. And the last two. So and still played till 9 o'clock though. And then I remembered there was a 7-Eleven walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'm gonna go get a new charger, and I'm gonna get a long cable. This one right here, actually.
Yeah, you left me all alone there for a while. I was like, where'd he go?
Came back, plugged everything in or whatever, what have you, and it started to charge. Well, for whatever reason, this one isn't strong enough for the iPad.
Yeah, usually, there's different. It's hard to tell. I have the same thing with my stuff. Sometimes if you're using a charging cord that's not quite making the right connection, it just slows down and takes forever to charge.
Yeah, and that's what kind of happened. But luckily for me, though, it slowed down the, I guess, the juice going out of the iPad, it slowed it down a bit. So it still lasted me the rest of the night. So it helped out in a little bit of a
you
way.
You made it through.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I did this last week was last night when you called me at like 3 o'clock and said, I'm picking you up at 5.
Yeah.
I go, okay. Went down to see Stephen McClintock play.
Our good buddy
Irvine.
Stephen, yeah.
That was really good.
I love Stephen's voice so much. And he had another friend of his play with him and everything. So they were kind of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Stephen was on guitar. His friend was on piano and guitar. It was a little show off. but it was the first time I've heard Stephen do covers. Because normally when I go see Stephen, it's for the songwriters' showcases or right. You know, songwriters in the round. And it's all of us doing our original stuff, basically. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I'm always used to hearing Stephen do those. But it was kind of nice to hear him do covers, though.
I really enjoyed the music. It was like a bunch of like late 60s into the 70s. Even 80s music.
They were kind of...
The bulk of it.
Yeah, they were kind of going all over. They did Eagles and everything and some Beatles tunes also.
A bunch of Eagles.
Yeah, and it was nice. It was and the food, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, we kind of made pigs of ourselves.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, one of us had bacon mac and cheese for a dessert.
Yes, we did.
That's because I gave you a taste of it when I had it.
Big, big mistake.
Yep.
That was a huge mistake to do. Yeah. Now, the place is called Two Left Forks. It's down in Irvine.
In the Quail Ridge.
Yeah, and really nice restaurant. It's a little upscale place. It is a little pricey.
Yeah, moderately pricey.
Yeah,
it wasn't out of line.
No. And so I just figured, okay, you know, there wasn't anything there that really seemed to go, oh, I got to have that at that price.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was really tempted about, and so were you, I think, with the enchiladas.
I was. I read that and I thought, that sounds like it might be good. I came close.
But normally when you go and get to a Mexican restaurant and get an enchilada plate, it's like $12.
Yeah, not 22.
Two, exactly. Yeah.
So,
and I'm going, ah.
That was a little much. But I really enjoyed it. And of course, you were talking about the strawberry cheesecake for dessert, and then you decided mac and cheese.
Well, so, I'm looking at the prices, you know. I'm thinking, okay, well, if I go with that one, this is only like $100, and if I get the mac, it tasted pretty damn good.
It's only a couple of dollars.
It's only $2 more, so...
Yeah, well, then I decided to get the cheesecake, and I enjoyed the hell out of that.
Dude, I've never seen a plate so clean.
Oh, my God, I wanted to lick it. I swear to God, it was like, that doesn't happen too often, but yeah, I definitely enjoyed that cheesecake.
Yeah, it was really good. The food overall was good. I mean, even the burger I had, it was like a nice, thick, like half-inch thick patty in there. You know, it was really good. You know, that's how do you want it? Medium well, whatever, and cooked to perfection, man. So it was a great place. So, but Stephen did a great job playing last night. And like I said, I love hearing his voice because there's a certain type of airiness that he does or that he has, and it's very distinctive. And I mean,
it's his own natural quality.
Is
very apparent.
So, very much so.
I really enjoyed it. So
it was. We had an absolute blast with him too, and everything. So and then he's going to be doing a house concert come August, and unfortunately, you won't be here though because next month you'll
I know.
Be gone.
I'm disappointed. Well, I'm not too disappointed though because I'm going away for a good cause. So good causes.
Oh, let's see. Yeah,
yeah. Well, you know, granddaughter getting married. That's going to be exciting, and then. My nephew, who's been diagnosed with cancer, we're going to have a big party at his house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should be fun. And we went, sort of just an interesting thing. When I was 18, my my brother-in-law was a scout master. And he organized a hiking trip from Yosemite Valley to Mount Whitney.
Oh, wow.
Which is like 230 miles. And we took a month, and there were nine of us, including him, the leader. And one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences you'll never never forget, always enjoy. And there's a bunch of us who are still around that we've gotten together a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get together and have a big John Muir Trail party is what we call it.
That's nice.
And so I'm going to have a great time up in Utah.
Yeah, well, I'm stuck here doing the show alone.
I know.
No one's here. Actually, I talked to Paul. Paul might come down and do...
That'd be great. Everybody will love Paul.
Yeah. They all know Paul Preston from the movie guys and everything. Right. So, and Paul's been with us several times on different shows and stuff. So, but no, it'll be good. I'm going to miss you, though, for the whole month. But
yeah.
But it's, like you said, good, two good causes and everything. So, speaking of causes, we need to go ahead and do our sponsor
do
here.
Do a little business.
Mm-hmm. Let's get the music going. Of course, you know, with everything starting to open up slowly, it seems that businesses everywhere will be needing some new signs.
Well, not just businesses, but how about bands needing new merchandise or companies needing new canopies for conventions?
Well, where does one go for printing merchandise? Simple. Go where we go. StrangerPrints.com.
Stranger Prints is the official merchandiser printer for your weekly dose. They do all of our shirts we give away, but that's not all they do.
Nope, they do so much more, like table covers, canopies, graduation signs and banners, regular banners, stickers, slip mats for DJs, backdrops, sports jerseys, and so much more.
So for all of your printing needs for merchandise, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
That's right. Just go to StrangerPrints.com for more information and all the pricing.
That's StrangerPrints.com and tell them your weekly dose sent you.
Because, damn it, we did.
And you can also try to talk to 11. You never know.
Exactly. All righty. Well, you know what? Today is also a special day.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we all know that everyone in the United States becomes Latino come Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, they do.
So I have here, for National Tequila Day.
Oh, I see.
The top-selling brands of tequila in the U.S.
All right.
So what do you think they are?
Well, I imagine Cuervo Gold is in there somewhere.
Okay, Jose Cuervo, what are you talking about?
Jose Cuervo.
Okay. That is number one. In 2020, unit sales was 8.7 million.
Woo!
The annual revenue last year, 2020, now mind you, this is during the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
$4.21 billion.
And for all tequila or just Jose?
That's, well, Jose Cuervo, Jose that brand.
That's the numbers for that brand.
That brand.
Wow, and there's so many others.
Exactly.
There's a lot of people drinking tequila.
It was, I mean, I was looking at the numbers, and some of them are pretty amazing. I've never heard of this, though, but Hornitos?
Yes, Hornitos.
Okay.
That's supposed to be very, very good.
Okay, 1.3 million sales.
Mm-hmm.
Money that came in was $944 million.
Somebody putting that in their pocket, they might spill a little. I would take that.
Yeah. El Jimador or Jimadoo?
I never
heard of it either. Yeah,
it's Scooby Doo.
El Jimador is what Jimador. It is. Yeah, but it's spelled J I M A D O R.
So Jimador.
Jimador. El Jimador. Or Jimadoo.
Jimadoo this, Jimadoo that.
Yeah. So unit sales was 1.4 million. Annual sales last year for them was 967 million dollars.
Good Lord.
So a lot of money. Jiminy Crickets.
You know, we should take all this stupid electronic equipment out of here and put it in a still.
No kidding. Got to call Kay and Mike and ask them, hey, let's start making tequila.
Yeah.
Don Julio, which I think a lot of people are familiar with,
mm-hmm.
Was $1.7 million in sales. And the money they made was $1.12
billion. Good Lord. That's a lot of money.
Okay. Now, this was kind of awkward. We've all seen this, 1800 Tequila.
Yes.
There was no information on that one.
Really?
Yeah.
They keep it secret or something?
Maybe. I don't know. So it was kind of fun. But was it the Sousa? You know, the really cheap-ass stuff that you find
Sousa.
At, you know, that you find at, like, Albertsons or Smart and Final, you know? Even they came in at number three.
Well, you know, they're cheap and fairly good, so a lot of people go there.
Okay. Unit sales was 2.7 million. Annual sales last year was 1.27 billion.
Yeah, so there's no confusion in that company whether or not to continue making tequila.
Exactly. It's like, hey, this is a good thing. I think we'll keep going. Not too bad at all. Number two was Patron. Unit sales was 2.8 million, while annual sales was 1.37 billion.
Patron, a lot of people like Patron now.
Right. And of course, once again, Jose Cuervo was number one. Unit sales was 8.7 million with revenue of being $4.21 billion. I mean, I can't believe, you know.
Oh, my God.
That much during the pandemic, though.
Well, you know, people are inside and the kids get to them, and so they're like, yeah, I got to drink something.
What has been one of the best tequilas that you've ever drank?
Oh, my. I try not to do too much tequila, and usually if I'm doing tequila, it's for body shots, so I'm distracted from, I could be Bob's Tequila, you know, $3 a bottle, and I'd be,
you're fine.
I'm fine. Do you have a tequila you like? Well, we had, was it Brad? Who was it with the haha?
Oh, yeah, yeah, bread, well, brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good, actually. It was tasty.
It was.
I enjoyed that.
It was very good, and that kind of reminded me of, which is my favorite, the Cabo Wabo tequila, which is Sammy Hagar's tequila. And he made a buttload of money off of that, and he still gets the licensing revenues for that, too, from my understanding. Because I think when he originally started it, he was like, I don't know the business, whatever end of it, but if you guys can figure it out, talking to the business people, then, yeah, I'll put my name on it and whatever, let's go. And they were able to develop it. And it all started basically with Sammy picking going down to the town of Jalisco, which is where they make the tequila at.
Right.
And basically talking to the different distilleries. So he didn't just have one distillery he always went to. He would go to different ones and sample the tequila and try and see how they tasted. And then that's what he would pick for the bar and then have it, you know, those barrels shipped over to the bar. And they said, well, why don't we make this into more of a venture kind of a thing? He told, like I said, the business guys, if you can figure it out, that's fine. And it became a worldwide tequila, and really, really good. And it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it took a real jump in sales.
Yeah, it did. And then when he sold it, I think he sold it for something like $8 million, you know, and everything. But he still gets to pick the tequila, whatever, that goes in the bottles and stuff and everything. And, of course, now he's doing a rum.
Oh, that rum is it.
Yeah. So now he's doing a rum thing, you know, and that's not too bad either. I've kind of enjoyed the rum, you know, overall. Actually, I got a couple of bottles for you one morning we were doing, a drunk show or something.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad, no.
But yeah, I'll say if I want to sip on a tequila, I do like the Cabo Gold. So I do like that. And then if I'm doing drinks, either the Blanco or the blue bottle or the blue label.
Blue Agave?
Yeah. So, and that's really good in the drinks. And Sammy says the best one to use basically is the Blanco because it's right from the distillery.
Oh.
He says that's the best one to really use. Whereas the other aged ones, where it's been like 3 or 5 year aged, those are more for sipping.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever sipped again.
Yeah. No, we've definitely chugged it. That's for darn sure. Definitely chugged it. Yeah, absolutely. So, but there you go. Yeah. So, and God, that's an awful lot of money, though, man. You know, for that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, maybe people were doing a lot of body shots at home.
You never know. Yeah. You never know.
Kids in his bedroom on his computer in class of school, and what else are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? We want to congratulate some friends real quick.
There's 104 days of summer vacation. School comes
along just you love this song.
I do.
So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it. Like maybe building a rocket or fighting a mommy.
Well, if you're not too familiar with this theme song, shame on you.
I know. Everybody should know this by heart.
Of course, this is the theme song for the TV show Phineas and Ferb. And our friends, Dan Povenmire and Jeff Swampy Marsh, got nominated for a recent film, which is called Candace Kicks on the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
They were up for an Emmy. And they won!
For Best Writing Group.
Yep, so, outstanding achievement for writing team for a daytime animated program.
Mm-hmm.
So that included Dan Povenmire, Jeff Swampy Marsh, John Colton Berry, Jim Bernstein, Joshua Pruitt, Kate Condell, Jeff M. Howard, and Bob Bowen.
We got to see that because I love Candace.
You have seen it.
Did I see it?
You've seen it. Last year you saw it.
Oh, then it was last year. Well, then, let's see. It's like my mind is blank again, so I need to see it again.
Yeah. So they got they actually got nominated for the Kids' Choice Awards for Favorite Animated Movie. It was nominated. They also went up against the Annie Awards for Outstanding Achievement in Voice Acting in the Animated Television Broadcast and Production. And then for the Daytime Emmys, Outstanding Writing Team for Daytime Animated, and Outstanding Original Song for a Preschool Children's or Animated Program. So they got nominated. And it was the opening song called Such a Beautiful Day, written by Dan and Carrie Kirkpatrick. So they didn't get that one, though, but they did at least get it for the writing,
yeah,
which is good because, I mean, these guys have been nominated so many freaking times.
They do amazing work. That's why.
Yeah, it's SpongeBob or somebody else always beats them, damn it.
Yeah, well.
But this time they won, so I'm real happy for them.
Yeah.
Really, really happy. And
pretty amazing.
There's rumors now that Dan and Swampy were talking possibly about a third movie.
Ooh.
So even though Phineas and Ferb has been off the air and this and that and everything,
it,
you know,
continues.
Yeah, it's gonna
one way or another anyway.
Exactly, exactly. So, well, you know what? We're gonna play a quick song for you guys here, and that way we can get connected to our guests for today. So we're gonna leave you with a little bit of The Ventures.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and then come back.
Cowabunga, dude.
So we'll be right back, guys. Enjoy the music here. We'll be right back. guys. Well, our guest today has been a longtime friend of this program. We first met her when she was plugging her books, Sex, Death, Rock and Roll, and So L.A., a Hollywood memoir. Since then, we have become great friends and have supported all of her endeavors, including my favorite documentary, The Ventures Stars on Guitars, which is about her father, the great Don Wilson, and his band, The Ventures. Well, today she returns, this time with her writing partner, Darren Gordon Smith, who created Repo, the genetic opera. So please welcome to the program our friend Stacey Lane Wilson and Darren Gordon Smith. Hello, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Yeah, good. Can't go wrong with that awesome. Great musical intro there.
Of course. We only play the almost awesome music here on this show.
Yeah.
First of all, Stacey, how have you been, darling? We haven't talked for quite a while, and you've been a busy little bee, though. But overall, how are things in Vegas, and how's Aaron doing?
Yeah, it's all good. We're doing great. The movie, The Ventures Stars on Guitars, came out in December. So it's been streaming everywhere and been getting some really great feedback, which
Wonderful. Is
really, really nice to have so many fans appreciate the blood, sweat, and tears, and, of course, a lot of smiles along the way, too. But, yeah, so I've been busy with that and working on some books with Darren and working on a movie with Darren, too, another rock and roll themed film.
Yeah, so, we'll talk about that. Absolutely. And, you know, it's so good because you did such a great job putting that documentary together you know, about your dad, his life, and the band itself and what they all went through and everything. And there was so much history in there. I mean, I learned quite a bit myself, too. And
thank you.
It was, and you just did a fabulous, fabulous job overall. So congratulations on that.
I was just noticing that it got a 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb, but Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%.
Hey, you can't go wrong.
Hey, not so bad, right?
Don't see that too often.
You can't go bad.
Now, the people on IMDb are pretty brutal, so yeah, actually 7.8 out of 10 is not so bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's even better than Jordan Peele, Get Out. 100%.
Well, that's awesome. So you got this new series of books out right now that I thought was really, really interesting. And we'll get to those in a moment. But, Darren, we want to learn a little bit about you first and everything. So you've been a musician and composer for quite some time, correct?
That's right.
How did you get into that?
I love how it's like an easy softball question. I'm like, geez.
I know for me, I started playing my mom's tennis racket. That was the beginnings of it for me.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I've been playing music all my life. My mom was a classical musician, a professional musician.
And oh, wow. Dad,
yeah, and my dad, before becoming a scientist, he actually was a jazz trumpeter. So just as when he passed away, just so happened he asked me, I have like 2,000 of his old 78s records from like going back to like Louis Armstrong and all sorts of Miles Davis, all sorts of great stuff. So anyway, whoa. I've been a musician all my life and, you know, starting in about year 2000, started working on Repo. And we did it, the Repo, the genetic opera, as a stage show in L.A. a couple times. And we went to Off Broadway in New York. And then finally, Darren Lynn Bousman of the Saw franchise fame, he directed and produced Repo, the genetic opera, our musical. And so it's been a great, incredible ride, and got to work with a lot of great people, from Sarah Brightman to Paris Hilton to Paul Sorvino and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, the cast that you had on the film was just amazing overall. I was very surprised on some of the stars that you did get, though. But speaking of Repo, how and where did this whole culmination of this opera, how did it come about for you in the writing process?
It started out as a 10-minute opera, me and my collaborator, we went and played rock clubs, but we did like what we called 10-minute operas. They were like these little mini rock operas, which we, you know, act out and so forth. And one of them was called The Necro Merchant's Debt. People loved this little short story, 10-minute opera about people having their buying their organs like hearts and livers on credit, and then having a repo man come and take it away if he couldn't afford it. And it was just over the top. It was fun and funny. And so based on that, people loved it. And we decided, let's just make this into a stage show. And then from that, it went into a movie. But I think the overall arching thing is the idea of marrying music with words, with stories. That's something that's the most important thing to me. And I actually met Stacy on the set of Repo when we were filming up in Toronto.
Oh, wow.
And we've hit it off ever since. We both, you know, just, I love The Ventures too. And I, by the way, I love her, the movie that she's done. It's just phenomenal. We just have so much in common. We love to write stories. We love music. You know, we have enough of inside jokes to amuse ourselves for years.
To baffle people for years. But
yeah. Yeah,
I was wearing my Jimmy Page Zoso symbol necklace the first day that I met Darren, and he recognized what it was. So, yeah, I knew it was meant to be.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what did you do on the film, Stacey? I mean,
what did I do?
What did Stacey do? Because you said you guys met during the film.
Oh, yeah. I was a reporter. I was working for the Sci-Fi Channel then.
Oh, okay.
And they sent me up to Toronto to interview everyone. And, yeah, it was really like just forged some really long-lasting friendships with the cast and crew there. And it really led to a lot of great things, including the creative collaborations with Darren. You know, we've done quite a few things together. That book, Sex, Death, Rock and Roll, that you mentioned, right. And some short films, and our feature film, and this series of books, Rock and Roll Nightmare. So it's really been great to be friends for so long and still be able to collaborate on a business level too in such a harmonious way.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's really tough. That's really tough to do. And actually, when we first met, she was just this cub reporter in a fedora hat and a mustache. A fake little mustache to make her seem older, kind of like Cameron Crowe and almost famous. But I saw right through it. I'm like, oh, there's a pretty woman behind that mustache. But it really is it's a great process of with Stacey, because she's right. I mean, we're friends. We work together really well. My only complaint about her is that she's so quick with everything that when it's like we divide duties, she's already done with like a whole chapter, and then I'm left to write my chapter, and she's done it in an hour, and I got like 5 days to do it. So
How does the writing process go with you guys? Because, I mean, as a songwriter myself, you know, I can sit in a room with two or three other people and, you know, there's a collaboration, and I understand how that works in writing a song and everything. But how does it work for writing a book, though, between the two of you?
Well, we have also written screenplays, too. We kind of have the same system that works for us. I know different collaborators work differently, but usually, like, he'll write one chapter, and then he'll kind of leave me with a cliffhanger, and then I'll pick it up, and I'll write the next chapter. We don't really outline things beforehand. We may have a vague idea of how it's going to end, but it's more like a kind of a fun relay race where we kind of throw the torch to one another and see what the next person does. And then when it's finished, the first draft, then we each go over every, you know, his work, my work, you know, we go over it each other's, and to kind of, you know, make sure that we picked up all the right plot threads and that there's nothing, no holes in there. But yeah, it's pretty natural. I feel like we never struggle on any of our projects.
No, and I think that it's kind of like entertainment in real time form, because when she sends out her chapter, it's like, oh my God, this is great. I know why she goes there. Like, what the hell? And it's like, and so each time it's kind of like, okay, now she's written me into a corner, so I write her into a corner, but she gets out of the corner. That's so good, because literally, you know, a lot of writing, as all of us can probably attest to, it's so solitary. You're alone. You're, you know, alone with your thoughts for too long. But in this case with Stacey, it's really a great collaborative experience where I'm actually watching a story unfold in real time.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that totally happening. With it kind of going back and forth and then everything, like you guys said, and you guys had mentioned too that you have certain inside jokes with each other, because you've known each other for so long. Do some of those inside jokes fall into any of those storylines?
No, I don't think so. I think we kind of just make up some of our humorous things along the way. You know, like Darren mentioned, sometimes I'll throw something at him. This one of the stories in Rock and Roll Nightmares that we collaborated on, called Hip to Be Scared. Darren thought of the concept, which is, you know, these two kids who are obsessed with the 80s, you know, teenagers, young 20-somethings now, obsessed with the 80s, and then they get sent back to the actual 80s. And so that's kind of the villain of the horror story, the decade itself. But I came up with an idea that that Phil Spector and Richard Ramirez, the serial killer, meet up in the Cecil Hotel and have a fight to the death. And so then I kind of left him with that. I'm like, let's see what you do with this, Darren. So we had a lot of fun with that one.
That is freaking brilliant.
She added the title, Hip to Be Scared. So I'm thinking, how do I bring in Huey Lewis from, you know, Hip to Be
Exactly.
How do I bring that guy in there?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this a little bit now. I mean, the Rock and Roll Nightmares, there's the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. And I take it these are just, mm-hmm. you know, obviously the different decades. And what's brilliant about it and is the titles of these stories that are written by you guys as well as some other authors here. And it's all a play on song titles as well.
Yes.
From those generations. And I started laughing my butt off because I'm going, this is brilliant. And I mean, to me, this is like almost, you know, like a Mark and Brian sketch for Halloween.
And, right? Yeah.
And exactly. I mean, and it wrote itself, because when you first sent me the email and I'm reading these titles, you know, I'm just like, you got to be kidding. I mean, you got do you believe in tragic?
Uh-huh.
You know, California Screaming. You know, it's just Hella Woman. You know, it's my party, and I'll die if I want to.
Mm-hmm. That's another Darren and Stacey collaboration right there.
Yeah, yeah. And mm-hmm. I felt like going, damn it, you know, to the end of it, they just add a little bit more emphasis. Daydream. I love this one. Daydream Bereaver.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. And a lot of the, you know, some of them, the writers came up with their own titles, and then other ones they were assigned a title. So it's really fun to see what they will do with kind of a writing prompt. Like, here's this title of, you know, do you believe in tragic? And what are you going to come up with to fit that, you know? And so they really knocked it out of the park. I really am pleased with all three books. They're a lot of fun.
And for me, go ahead, Darren.
My favorite title was Close to Meat.
Oh, yeah, Don't Stand So Close to Meat.
Okay, let's go through some of these other ones, too, real quick here. So the 60s, to kind of finish off the 60s, Stacey, you got Chainsaw.
Uh-huh.
She's Got a Ticket to Die. Another Stick, Another Piece of My Heart. I Can't Get No Satisfaction. And Papa's Got a Brand New Body Bag.
Yeah.
Now, these are songs I want to hear Weird Al do, kind of a thing.
Right? Yeah, you know? I know. We should have brought him in. Maybe he can do the musical accompaniment for the books.
Okay, now here's the ones, the 70s, which is, by the way, the 60s title, the whole group title is called Along Comes Scary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The 70s title is Do You Fear Like We Do? And, of course, which is a great Peter Frampton reference. And you've got Tiny Danger, Comfortably Dumb, Sharing the Fright Together, Graydon Schlichter?
Yeah, Graydon Schlichter came up with, it's like she's a killer Dean. So it's like she's a killer queen.
Oh, okay, got it.
Dean
okay.
is the guy's name, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Love's Dies Bleeding. Long ghoul woman in a black dress, and then of course Stacy then gets the killer titles though. I love this one, Saturday Fright Fever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Death by Disco. You know, speaking of Darren Bousman who did the Saw movies, it's kind of like a little riff on these disco stars who are put through these chambers of death that all have to do with disco related demises.
I love these next few. We Will Stalk You.
Mm-hmm.
While My Guitar Gently Reaps, mm-hmm. Do You Think I'm Stabby? And then Hotel Kill 'Em For Ya. You know, and I mean, these are just freaking great titles. And then the 80s is called Gory Days. You know, play on Bruce Springsteen there. Dead Over Heels, Hip to Be Scared. Pour Some Sacrificial Blood on Me. Sharp Dressed Man Slaughter. Bite It Out. And then again, Stacy comes up with these other titles. The Boys of Bummer. Bleed You Tonight. Don't Stand So Close to Meat. Shivin' on a Prayer. Of course, Bon Jovi. And Should I Stay or Should I Go? Or Should I Slay, rather. Or should I go?
Indeed. That's the question.
How fun was it for you guys to come up with some of these titles?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm always kind of doing something like that anyway in my fevered brain. I love to think of puns and just crazy titles for stories. And often that's how I work, is I will come up with a title first regardless of whatever kind of book or story it is. I'll come up with the title and then build a story around it. So, but it was really fun to do something like this because I do tend to write a lot of horror, and always comedy kind of creeps in here and there through the cracks. But in this case, I really got to embrace the dark comedy side of the horror. So the books are definitely, sort of laugh out loud and cringe scary. Yeah.
And for you, Darren, how challenging was it going with these titles for you?
Doing what?
How challenging was it to using these titles that Stacy had came up with? How challenging was it for you to kind of follow in, or was it a fairly easy process still?
It was actually kind of hard because when she came up with the title, You Have to Be Scared, I kept thinking about how to incorporate that in the story itself. And everything that I kept incorporating, it seemed kind of phony, you know, like where you just, you put something together and it's just like watching a show where you can just tell, like, here's plot point one, plot point two. You can just see the scaffolding behind everything. So to tell you the truth, it was kind of hard until I realized it's just the title is really more like a suggestion. And like Stacy said, a prompt. And so once I got over the fact that the title doesn't have to be like you said, you're a songwriter, like usually when you have a title, it's like, that's going to be your course, right?
You right.
sing it, and then you're going to try to make sense out of what it means in context of your life. So it was kind of difficult, but on the other hand, everything with Stacy is fun, so I just tried to approach it from a fun angle.
That's cool. That's really, really cool.
And also, I would add that, on a personal level, I've heard so many people throughout the years say, oh, God, I wish I had grown up in the 80s. It was such an innocent time. It was so much fun and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I grew up in the 80s. It's just like now, except you have no phone and you got no computer.
Right.
Riding around, boring, thinking about the you know, existential things in life that you don't have to think of anymore because you got phones to do it for you.
Right, or you just can look what look something up, you know, because we do have that in the story, you know, where one of the characters is at a concert and she wants to look something up and, you know, she can't look it up because she doesn't have her phone. She's stuck in the 80s.
Yeah, and then, and another one where they're in between sets with a band, and nowadays you just go to your phone and play games or whatever. But there are these two kids who come back from 2020 to go back to the 80s. They're like thinking every thought a human being can fucking think in their entire life, just waiting for their drinks to come back. They're not used to actually thinking without having a phone in front of them. So I just, you know, it was a funny story, but I just wanted to add that something a little less, a little more serious, which is the fact that this, the era of the 80s was not innocent. Because it forced innocence is not innocence, it's just cynicism. In other words, there wasn't anything like, oh, that was back then, everybody was like, blah, blah, blah. No, it was a reaction to the 1960s and 70s where people didn't, they forcibly didn't want to think about, you know, the things of the 60s and 70s. That doesn't make it innocent, it just makes it cynical.
Right.
So we had fun.
That's good. That's good. And Stacey, talk to us now about this movie that you guys are working on. This is the, what is it called? The Second Coming of Aquarius?
The Second Age of Aquarius.
Second Age of Aquarius. Okay. And what is this about?
Well, it's actually based on a short story from our book, Sex, Death, Rock and Roll. And, you know, we kind of, sort of the elevator pitch is that it's Weird Science meets Oliver Stone's The Doors, because it's about a young female computer programmer who's, you know, she's loves this 1960s rock star who passed away at the age of 27, of course, in 1970. Mm-hmm. And she's tasked to build celebrity avatars for the company that she works for. And so she decides to do one on her own time of this rock star, Russell Aquarius, and he materializes in her apartment as an avatar, a very lifelike avatar. And so it's kind of like, you know, the Odd Couple, they're kind of in the apartment together, and he's not exactly all that she hoped and dreamed because he's a product of the 50s and 60s. He's kind of chauvinistic. He treats her like a groupie. And, you know, so it's fun. It's a rock and roll sci-fi comedy. And Darren wrote several original period correct songs for it. And the actor who plays Russell is he's an accomplished musician and singer, and he looks the part. You know, he has actual real long hair and no tattoos. You know, back in the 60s, men didn't have a lot of tattoos, and he sings and plays guitar. So, yeah, it's really fun. And we finished post-production, and we're looking for distribution right now.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so awesome. And Darren, for you to come up with these songs, was it difficult to try and recapture the sound of the 70s, or was it pretty easy for you?
It was from the 60s, and because he died in 1970.
Okay.
On stage at the Gettysburg Music Festival, where he was electrocuted. But anyway, that's all fictitious.
I'm sorry,
to answer your question, it was kind of difficult. Because I wanted to do it right. You know, it's like oftentimes I'm sure you hear period movies, that the music sounds nothing like from that period. They didn't do it well. So I wanted to do it to make it sound like really like this was a hit from 1967. And to that end, I actually recorded stuff in Nashville on just old equipment, the 1960s era tape decks and instruments and so forth. So wow. I wanted everything to sound like it's real from that era. And then I kind of got to, because I love music of a lot of different eras, but I especially do love the 60s. And I wanted everything to be sound like, okay, this is exactly what it would sound like back then. At a certain point, I kind of decided, you know what? This isn't the 1960s. This is my version of the 1960s.
Right.
So I'm gonna, within the context of what this character, Russell Aquarius, what he would sing and play, within that context, I just decided if he had a Venn diagram, it's like the intersection between what he would do and what music I loved from the 60s, and see which ones, you know, put them together. So I put together, because I happen to love, you know, classic rock, but I also love Miles Davis, Bitches Brew, a lot of Burt Bacharach. And I just decided, you know, fuck it. I know, like, in real life, they didn't all, like, hang out together. But right. Why not write music that's the music I love? So I just put them all together and, you know, shook them up. And hopefully, you know, so far people are loving the music. So that's a good sign.
As this hopefully gets picked up and distributed, are you also looking to try and possibly get a soundtrack out with it as well?
Yes, and we have not only the soundtrack, which will be coming along simultaneously with the release, but we have another book with Stacey in which the characters from the movie are extrapolated by various stories in that. So it's great. It's going to be a movie, soundtrack, and a book. It's like Star Wars, except
right, exactly. Oh, we forgot the lunch boxes, Darren.
Yeah. and the computer place, the pad, the mouse pads, and stuff
right,
like
exactly.
That.
Yeah, and the flamethrower, the cereal box. Mm. Merchandising. Oh, man.
We're going to have some happy meals at McDonald's with, like, you know, saying the 27 Club or something.
Yeah, maybe they can, like, give away a miniature microphone or whatever that shocks people.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, like a little buzzer or something like that. Or
there
whatever.
Might be a little liability issue there. I don't know, Sean.
Just no, it's kind of like putting, you know, like a 9-volt battery on your tongue. That's all.
Yeah. Something light.
You know, Stacey, so what about the liability issue? It'll be fine.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll be fine.
It's like the 60s meets Jackass.
There you go. Hey, there you go.
And then not only that, though, but I mean, think of all the publicity of all the news reports you guys would get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'd be pretty good. You know, nationwide
it's
publicity.
It's worth it right there. While we're in prison, we can think of our legacy.
There
of
we go.
All these
27-year-old
guys who just died because of our toys.
Oh, man. Well, I hope this thing gets picked up. Once it does, Stacey, are you going to try and do, like, another little premiere thing that you did with the Ventures movie here in L.A.? Or?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, we'll see. It's the movie just, you know, really kind of wrapped with the sound design and the, you know, all the animation. We had the same editor who did the Ventures documentary feature, Nina Hurton. She also edited the Second Age of Aquarius, and she added some of her wonderful trademark animation and her little flourishes. So, it just got done. So we're looking into seeing where we can premiere it. For sure, we want to do something live and in person, you know, and that'll be a lot of fun. We'll have the cast and crew there and, you know, maybe even a sing-along, maybe a shadow cast like people used to do with Repo, the Genetic Opera. That could be fun.
Yeah. In fact, they still do around the world.
Oh, really?
Midnight
wow,
movies,
awesome.
There's still
I mean, that movie
out
came out, what, in 2008? Still going strong.
It really is. And so, just like Stacey's saying, it's like Rocky Horror Picture Show. People know every single line from this movie. Repo, the Genetic Opera. They sing everything. They make their own, props and spend hundreds of dollars doing stuff. And They have
catchy. Wow. Yeah, I mean, your songs are so catchy. I think, you know, with the second age of Aquarius, I think your songs also have that potential. Maybe we'll see people running around in fringe vests and tie-dyed underwear just like Russell Aquarius.
I hope so.
That could be. Yeah,
I think Steve's got something laying around somewhere.
Tie-dyed underwear. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the songs, by the way, Stacey came up with the titles. So we have Furry Freak. I'm a Furry Freak. It's, you know, Acid Rain and all sorts of great stuff. And so, yeah, we're really excited about that.
That sounds like so much fun. Because I mean, I can totally tell now that you guys really enjoy the partnership that you guys have and the collaboration that you guys do. And it almost seems effortless for you guys to put something out, whatever the product is, whether it be a book or whether it be a movie or, you know, or even a song, it seems. You know, there's a true love, I think, and respect you guys have for each other and build off of each other's strengths.
I think so, too. I mean, yeah. And, I mean, nothing worthwhile is ever effortless, but you're right. I mean, to the extent that it can be, with less friction and real love and respect for each other's talents. So most of the time I know what Stacey's going to be writing is something that I like. So it's something that's going to be good. And like Stacey was saying, we'll oftentimes write and we'll do, you know, she'll do a chapter and I'll do a chapter. But I have real faith that in the end, once we finish it and we go edit it and so forth, that we'll actually have something. And that something would be something that I would never have come up with on my own.
Yeah, and same here. Yeah, we do complement each other and bring out different things in each other. So hopefully, you know, people can certainly, you know, get Rock and Roll Nightmares now. It's out, so they can check it out and judge for themselves.
Yes.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Darren, real quick, with going back to Repo, I mean, you had some pretty good heavyweights in the movie version of it. How did you get, you know, people like Paul Sorvino or Paris Hilton, for that matter, to come in and agree to do this movie?
The Paris Hilton thing is the best story yet, because when we decided to do the movie, we had Lionsgate behind us and Twisted Pictures, who are the people who did the Saw films. And of course, with Darren Bousman at the helm, we had a really good, you know, $7.5 million budget, so we could really do what we wanted. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that, because $7 million seems like a lot, and then all of a sudden, it's like, where the fucking money go?
Catering, craft services,
craft services. That was a hell of a hoagie, man.
The best bagels I ever had.
That's like a defense contractor, like a $20 million hoagie. But the thing, we just happened to attract a lot of people who had heard about what we were doing, and they really wanted to be part of it. And those good examples, Paul Sorvino, he was so serious, because he's actually an opera singer too. So he really wanted this in the songs that he, by the way, okay, first of all, this movie is almost all sung. So it has the most songs of any filmed musical in history. Wow. And the songs go from German and Italian opera to Nine Inch Nails to Tom Waits type of stuff. And the operatic stuff was sung by Paul Sorvino. He wanted to have a coach, you know, an opera coach, and did all the stuff. He was so into it that at one point he told me, he goes, this is the best movie I've worked on in the past, like, 40 years. And I go, well, wasn't Goodfellas, like, 30 years ago? You know, at the time. And he goes, yeah, it was. And I said, this is better to you than working on Goodfellas? And he's like, yeah. So I'm like, whoa, we must have something here. Now, the thing with Paris Hilton was just phenomenal, okay? There's a part in this story. It was pre-Trumpian, but it turns out the evil guy is this rich asshole with three children, adult children, who are all like complete nothings and horrible. And the girl, she's supposed to be this vain, stupid, drug addicted person, okay? So guess who, you know, who wants to audition is Paris Hilton. So we had a bunch of people that we could have chosen, and we were looking at all these people. And we're thinking, Paris Hilton, I don't know, man. You know, it's like, you know what kind of buzz is going to be around it if you have Paris be in the film. And so it was until she actually auditioned, we were against it.
Well, yeah, at that time she was in jail, right? I mean, yes, she was having a lot of problems then.
And according to Darren Bousman, she called from jail saying, please let me, I'll be out soon, but please let me audition.
Did she have to do her bits with an ankle monitor or anything?
Yes. So she comes in with a huge entourage, and outside the paparazzi are like, you know, they're all around the studio in North Hollywood where we're recorded. But she came in there. She knew she wanted the part. She knew the music. She knew everything. She did such a great job that we finally decided, okay, you know, there's going to be downsides to this whole thing with Paris. But not only is she perfect for the part, but she's a nice person. She was totally professional. Mm-hmm. And you know, it did have some, for the most part, it was a good experience. It was a complete circus outside of our studio every single day that we record. And we actually, because this is a sung musical, everything was recorded and sung in LA before we actually filmed Repo in Toronto. So, you know, we'd have to think about how many paces somebody's going to be while they're singing a song, how many measures do we need, because we couldn't screw it up, I guess is the way to put it. But every time Paris would come in, through the front and the back, there'd be like the paparazzi. She asked me to carry some stuff outside, and I carried her pillow and something else. And she gave me this little kiss on the cheek. And then, boom, it was like on what a Access Hollywood or one of those things. Wow. I had to call my wife and say, it's not what you think, honey.
It's more.
Well, you always remember, there is no bad publicity, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
There really isn't. We went to her beach house where she had a party, Paris Hilton. And honestly, you could not see the water on the beach because it looked like an army of photographers. They're all just standing out there looking at us, trying to decide if we're anybody worth photographing. And literally, you could not see the ocean. It was just weird. It was like D-Day or something.
Wow.
Jeez.
But anyway, so we got some great people. And one of the best ones was working with Sarah Brightman, the singer, and who she plays a character who's blind and who buys these digital corneas. But of course, she can't make her payment, so her eyes are going to be bloodily repossessed from her.
By Anthony Head from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
You're the Vampire Slayer. Trying to be stopped by Alexa Vega of the Spy Kids fame.
Right. Yeah. You had such an eclectic cast there. An ogre from Skinny Puppy. You know, he did a great job. I think that was his acting debut, right?
It was his acting debut. And he's, you know, to this day, he credits that as like a really big, you know, part in his life that changed his trajectory of what he wants to be, what he's been doing since.
Yeah.
Darren, is there a way for us to still get this film available? Is it streaming anywhere, or is there any way for people to see it?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain it's streaming anywhere, and you know, I'm pretty certain you could go on Amazon. Certainly, the whole movie is streamed on YouTube. So at any given time, it's out there. And like I said, on any given Saturday night at midnight, there is a show somewhere in the world where people are acting this whole movie out.
Well, I'm definitely going to try and find it myself so I can watch this thing, because this whole thing just sounds fabulous.
It sounds so much fun. That's what I think I see in the stuff that you've done and all these names and stuff. You put a lot of fun in it. It makes it interesting.
Yeah, and this, you know, that was a few years ago, and Stacey and I worked on a bunch of things, and right now, I feel like the second Age of Aquarius, this new movie Stacey and I are doing, this is the most important thing I've worked on for years, and I've really put a lot of my heart and soul into it. And I think it's just a fun, funny movie that anybody who loves rock and roll can relate to. And it's just, you know, it's a cute film. I'm actually the only token male to be working on the film.
Right, yes, it's a very women empowered.
It's a female directed, female, you know, this, that, and produced and all that. So I'm just there to kind of like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
But you're damn good at it, though. That's the whole thing, Darren. You're damn good at it, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Darren. We're gonna do something with you. We've already done it with Stacey when she was when she did her first guest appearance here on the show, and we're gonna do this with you. And you might remember this, Stacey. It's called the Island Question Game.
Yeah. Brace yourself, Darren.
Yeah. So basically, Darren, you're now retired. Enjoying the fruits of your labor, and you're on a deserted island, and you can only take one candy bar with you. What would it be?
Some kind of candy bar that floats, I think. I don't know, would a Snickers, if you put a bunch of Snickers bars together and put them together with some vines and rope, could you make it into a little boat?
Sure, if you want to. If you want to.
On the other hand, those aren't the best tasting candy bars.
Stacey, I think there's a story there now, Stacey.
I think so. Okay. I'm writing it down. Yeah. Okay. Taking notes.
Write this down. It would be Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and you know what? I wouldn't mind if I weren't even saved. I would just eat them until I die.
There you go.
We know from Caddyshack that Baby Ruth floats.
Yes, that's true. It does. That's very true. It does, yeah.
I stay out of pools because of that.
Okay, Darren, you can only take one album with you. What would it be?
Oh, God. You and your question. I think if I were to pick one, it would be Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti. A, because I love it, and B, because it's a double album, so I'm cheating here, so at least...
That works. Absolutely. Okay, you can only take one movie with you to watch. What would it be?
The Ventures. Spinal Tap.
Okay. All right. I'll try to help you out, Stacey.
I know, right?
What type of food would you take on the island? What kind of food would you have to eat?
Probably crepe Suzette.
Wow.
I don't know. I thought that other than I'm thinking of the Patty Duke show, and they have, like, they talk about Patty and his cousin loving crepe Suzette.
Okay. All right. You can take one person for conversation's sake. It cannot be your spouse or significant other. Who would you take? It could be anybody throughout history, fiction, nonfiction, just for conversation's sake.
I guess the most interesting man in the world. I would take that guy.
And he'd have a beer there for you, too.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, he doesn't always hang out on deserted islands, but when he does.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right. And here's the tough one. You can take one person for sexual gratification. Once again, you cannot take your spouse or significant other. Who would you take?
Oh, man. I could answer this seriously.
Nancy's not listening, is she?
Or I could make a joke and I might get in trouble too. So, why don't I say who I would not take? Margot Robbie. Salma Hayek. Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, I wouldn't take them either. Yeah, because they eat like crackers and cookies in bed. So yeah, I wouldn't take them at all.
You know, it would have to be somebody who. Oh my God! I guess you. I take you sight unseen.
Sight unseen. There you go. I like that. I like that.
I'm always best sight unseen. So why not you too?
There you go. That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. Well, we like to do also another game with you guys. And, of course, Stacey, you might remember this, too. This is going to be like a potpourri of questions for you. And basically, your name is your buzzer, Darren. Okay? So if you think you know what the answer is to the question, just shout out your name. We'll go to you. And hopefully, you'll get the question right. You ready for it?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Let's see. Oh, where did my thing go?
You lost your thing.
I did. I'm like, because I rearranged everything. So here it is. Here we go.
Is that the question?
No. No.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for that new game show that made Dracula suddenly hate the taste of blood. Quiz me.
Quiz you. All right. So our intern here is going to read us the questions.
Yes, I am, and we are going to start with question number one.
That's a good place to start.
Always is. Which Monty Python movie has the song "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life"?
Steve?
Darren.
Meaning of Life?
No.
Oh!
Shoot, I didn't
Life
see
of Brian.
Brian?
Darren.
Life of... He got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Darren's got it. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Darren's got it. Darren's on the board.
Yeah, Darren's on the board with question. And now we go to question number two. Earhart was the first female avocator to fly solo across what?
Steve.
Darren, the Atlantic.
That's
correct.
Cool. The ocean. Okay, Darren's got two.
All right.
We're sucking, guys.
Wow, yeah.
All right.
Come on, Stacey.
Pick it up on question number three now, shall we?
I'm rooting for you, Stacey.
Thanks. Yeah, I have a little delay in my brain here. All right, let's question number three.
Yes, question number three. Who's been Saturday Night Live's most frequent host?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That is a tough one. Yeah.
I'm going to guess and say Steve Martin.
Yeah, Steve Martin.
Whoa.
That's it.
Yeah, all right, Darren.
Darren is going card.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Wow.
I'm going to get that bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, it's good. Somebody should. It's been sitting around here for like 6 months. So.
I like it aged to perfection.
And it probably had to be aged 4 years with question number four. What TV cop badgered unwitting suspects with the line, "Just one more thing"?
Steve. Columbo.
Yes.
Ooh.
Columbo. Steve's on the board.
Steve's on the board. All right, Steve.
Ooh. All right. Let's see if somebody else can get on the board with question number five. The oldest science is what?
Oh, no, that's... oldest profession, sorry.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm not prostitution of science, or is it more of an art?
That's funny. God, oldest. Sean? I want to say astronomy.
Correct. Sean's on the board.
Yeah, I feel good.
Yeah, you better feel good. We're moving on to question number six.
Darren's still kicking our ass, though.
True. What was Cher's birth name?
Oh. I know this. I do know this.
So are you going to answer?
I'm trying because you got to pronounce it properly.
Is it Baby? Her birth name was Baby.
No. Okay, Sean. Sherilyn Sarkeesian.
Yeah.
Ha-ha!
Yay! I'm mainly saying yes because it looks right on the paper, and I don't know how to pronounce it as well.
Yeah, Sherilyn Sarkeesian. Yeah.
All right, number 7.
Stacey, have you gotten one?
No, I'm just chilling here.
Okay, this one's for Stacey then.
Yeah. All right. All right. How is actress Susan Tomling better known?
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, and I feel like that question could have been better worded.
Okay, wait. You know what? Let's give Stacey a better question, okay? Stacey, what are the name of your two rats?
Well, let me think about that. Dolly and Lola.
That is right.
Yay!
All
right.
Stacey's on the board.
She's got one.
There's no way to verify that.
What about your rat, Dr. John?
I know, right?
I'm just making it up. I don't know.
Okay, what's the question? This actress is...
How is actress Susan Tomling better known?
Okay.
Hmm. I think that's probably basically saying, what name is she more known by? Or more known as?
Okay, yeah, as I say, it sounds like she changed her name. You know, like Tony Curtis, or like, that's not like his real name.
I thought this impossible question is just for Stacey.
Yeah, right.
All right, no one knows. Okay, what is it?
Yeah. She kept her first name, Susan, but changed the last name to Sarandon.
Sarandon.
Sarandon. Sarandon. Okay.
Oh,
Susan Sarandon. Okay.
There you go.
Well, question number 8.
I like that, Sarandon.
Well, to be fair, it's a D-O-N.
It sounds like a dinosaur.
It does, doesn't it?
She's abandoned.
Here comes a Sarandon!
All right. Who won the Best Director Oscar for Unforgiven?
Clint Eastwood. My guy, I know that one.
Oh,
yay. Yeah, might as well give it to her.
Stacey's got two.
Woo. Yay. I think you can wipe out the softball one. I don't want to take credit for that.
Okay, how about this one then? How about this one, Stacey? What's your boyfriend Aaron's first name?
Well, let me think about that.
What tomb was Aaron buried in with Grant?
Yeah. Who's buried in Grant's tomb? Yeah.
All right.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
When did Aaron stop beating his wife?
Hmm?
Just thinking nonsensical questions. When did Aaron stop beating his wife?
Yeah, well, let's see. He's never been married, so that would be none.
Hey, there you go.
Hey,
I like it.
She got it right.
Moving on to question number 9. All right. Who created and introduced Twilight Zone?
Steve. Rod Serling.
That is correct.
There's some good stories in that Twilight Zone.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah.
You know what? I can see the two of you guys writing like a Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could do that. Go back in time.
Yeah,
can
totally.
Can someone send us back to the 80s for the Twilight Zone remake that they had out?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah. Some of those were junk.
It's not going was that when they had the helicopter crash when they did the Twilight Zone?
That was the movie.
Oh, yeah, that was the movie. That was in 79. John Landis.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But I could see you guys doing something like a Twilight Zone thing, too, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That'd be cool.
Definitely our sensibility.
There's
I love that idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's your next book series.
Right. Yeah. Rock and roll Twilight Zone.
And maybe there'll be 10 in that series because we're on question number 10.
All right, here we go. Last question.
Okay.
Final question for all the marbles. Which element has a name that comes from the Greek word meaning lazy?
Wow.
Steve.
Steve.
Verbidium.
No.
Bummium.
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 Lazy assium.
I like that. Stacey, you got a guess? Nope.
Right. No, nope.
It's so I'm going out. I'm out of this. I'm out of this one. What is it?
It's argon.
Argon. Okay, that makes sense.
Argon.
Yeah. Argon. Argon.
You're such an argon, Steve.
Yeah.
Argon.
All right. Well, there you go, guys. There's the game for you. Good job. And Darren, I think, won on that one with, what, four?
Yeah, Darren.
Four?
Yeah, four. The first four right off the bat, I believe.
Well, thank you. And, you know, since the bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken is so old, you can just send it by third-class mail.
Oh, good. Oh,
yeah, not a problem. We can do that for you.
Yeah, save a few pennies.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, we're a very low-budget show here. So, yeah, not a problem at all.
I really love the sincerity coming to you.
Because we mean it, damn it.
That's right. We're nothing if not sincere.
Oh, man. Well, Darren, Stacey, it was so good to talk to you both about these new books, this new book series here, and the Rock and Roll Nightmares. Where can people go out and get them right now?
They're exclusively on Amazon for the paperback versions, but the ebooks are everywhere, including Amazon, Barnes and Noble, iTunes, just about anywhere that people buy ebooks. Okay. And then we have audiobook versions coming out to audible.com in the next month or two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you going to be reading them, Stacey?
No. We have professional actors for that.
Oh, okay.
Very cool, very cool. And hopefully then you guys will also let us know about the movie, The Second Age of Aquarius, coming out.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, please let us know when that will be, and that way we can kind of help promote so people can get to the theaters to go see it, or even the premiere, if you're allowing mm-hmm. the public to come in to go see that.
Yeah, we'll probably be doing that in L.A., so... Hopefully you can make it out again, Sean. Maybe we'll even do a little karaoke afterwards like we did for the Ventures.
Yes. That was so much fun.
That was
so much fun. Had a blast. Had an absolute blast. And then hopefully, and I have to send you the link, Stacey, because I'll be in Vegas on August 11th.
That's right. It's in my calendar.
Yeah, doing the tribute to Trini Lopez. So if I just booked my reservations and everything for the hotel, so... All
nice. And where's the what's the venue that you're playing at?
It's the Rockstar Bar.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and I'll send you the link through Facebook.
Okay, yep.
So
I'll be there.
And Stacey, it was so good to hear your voice again.
Good to chat with you and Steve.
Yay.
The quiet one.
Hey, Steve.
That was fun. I like this kind of stuff.
And the lovely intern whose name I didn't catch.
Christopher.
Thank you.
Monica.
Hey, Christopher.
Monica.
Yeah, right. All righty, guys. Well, listen, both of you guys, take care of yourselves, and thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. And, of course, you're always welcome on the show to promote anything from both of you guys. Whatever you have, just let me know, and we'll definitely plug it for you guys.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks
so much. You're welcome, Darren. Take care, and you take care, Stacey. We'll talk to you soon. I'll see you in Vegas next month.
Yep. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye, guys. Take care. There you go. Good people, man. Good people. I love it.
That was a lot of fun.
That was. Yes. So definitely go check it out. Again, she said, you know, go to Amazon if you want to get the paperback, and then anywhere you want to do the downloaded versions of these. Again, it's called Rock and Roll Nightmares. There's a 60s version, Along Comes Scary, the 70s version, Do You Fear Like We Do, and the 80s version, Gory Days. And they're all horror stories and everything, and with a little bit of humor plugged into them as well. So it's always nice to hear these things and have fun with them, too, as well.
Yeah.
So. All righty, guys. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
Follow me, Steve, on Facebook, Steve Silva. Twitter is at silvalining69.
And don't forget, guys, you can listen to past moments of our show on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio every Wednesday from noon Wednesday through Friday. And we want to thank both of them for having us on and being our affiliates. So until then, we will catch you guys next week. So be good to each other and have fun.
Start laughing, world.
We need it. And offers coming over.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.